WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. Dial those numbers into your phone. You know you want to. Later tonight, we're going to be talking about this non-Facebook conspiracy story that is making the rounds and irritating certain members of Congress.
Yeah.
Who should have better things to do with their time.
You don't say.
Yeah. We're also going to have the strangest stories of the past week, the coolest stories of the past week, and everything else that's going on in the world right now. And
so much.
There is a lot. Yeah, this is once again not a quiet news week, mm-hmm. which is good news for people like us. Because we don't
have
to
live off of.
We don't have to be bored. So with that in mind, Lisa Nichols, who is here with me, as always, the lovely and talented Lisa Nichols. What's going on out there?
Well, today in local news, we learned the proposed Green Line extension will move forward, just not as extended. State transportation officials voted Monday to move forward with a scaled-down version of the embattled Green Line extension, but made it clear that they would still cancel the project if the state runs into more trouble financing it. The Department of Transportation Board and the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority's Fiscal Control Board agreed to submit a $2.3 billion plan for the project to the federal government, which must review the redesign proposal. The move represents a big step forward for the project, stalled for nearly a year. But it is still clear that several significant hurdles in upcoming months, including finding at least $73 million more in funding, getting another green light from the Federal Transit Administration, and hiring and training dozens of MBTA officials in the new contracting method. So it came out, you know, a few days ago.
Yeah.
It voted no, and now it's back. Now, what's interesting about what's happening?
Apparently, we're not going to get those Frank Gehry designed train stations.
Beautiful,
the glimmering train stations of the future.
Now, really, what area this affects? It affects right here,
yes,
where we are in the studio. Yes. So, I am talking about Somerville, Medford, and Cambridge.
This is going on outside, kids. This is in our backyard, right here, right now.
But what is so interesting is how many areas, how many neighborhoods, including the area that we're around, Tufts, has redesigned their buildings, their landscapes to adjust for this.
Right.
Because this isn't something that has just been planned in the past year or two.
No.
This is going back decades.
Yeah. This 20 years we've been hearing about this.
In the works. Now, we understand that the MBTA is in so much debt and is continually having financial problems. This started out at, I believe it was $1.3 or $1.4 billion.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about in a blink, we went up to $3 billion.
Yes.
In
as these projects tend to do
Boston
here in Massachusetts.
Yeah. That never happens.
The thing that I find intriguing about this scaled back proposal that they've got is they're doing away with all of the escalators and elevators. Now, my understanding was that this Green Line extension was mandated by the federal government to be compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have no elevators and no escalators, how are people going to get on the trains?
That's a problem.
That's a big problem. And that's a question that no one in the local press seems to be asking. And it's a question that everyone in the local press should be asking.
And if you look at any of the markups of what these stations were supposed to look like, these multi-million dollar yeah. stations, we're talking about now, at each one, we basically have a platform and the sign that says what station it is.
Which is what they have out in Brookline, and it works fine for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be why all of these escalators and elevators have disappeared. The federal government will not fund a project that is not ADA compliant.
Absolutely.
That has to be part of your proposal. So, yeah, maybe we're getting rid of enclosed stations. Big yips. You know, if you're out in this area, if you're anywhere out north of Boston, you don't know what an enclosed subway station is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them anywhere. You know, the furthest one out is Alewife, which is out there in Cambridge. And the Red Line is enclosed pretty much all the way out there. But the Green Line, that's wide open. You go out into Brookline, Newton, all of those areas.
Oh, you're driving next to them.
Blue Line's open once you mm-hmm. get out into Revere. Orange Line's open once you get outside of North Station. I think North Station's open now, too, isn't it?
North Station is not.
Okay, so that's still underground.
Mm-hmm.
But everything north of that is. So why do we need all these fancy enclosed stations? And I guess the bike paths aren't going to be part of it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the walking paths are now being shortened, which is having a lot of concerns. And if
are those going to be multimodal bike and walking paths? Because that works really well.
They wanted, yeah. You know, hearing from people in each of the areas where these proposed stations were, of course you have disgruntled members of the community. Because we were talking, as I said, years of planning. These people went to multiple meetings for it, and then all of a sudden it's being shut down. I guess it's we're in a situation now, kind of take what you can get.
This isn't about members of the community. What?
But
what
you can,
for a second?
But you can understand
what for a
where
second?
The backlash from the people from the community are having about this.
But let me ask you a question. What for one second made you think that any of this, that any state agency in Massachusetts gives two hoots about members of the community?
Care. It's all about the money.
This is a gimme to all the real estate developers. This is a gimme to mm-hmm. all of the business owners throw large amounts of money at political campaigns, who bought property, mm-hmm. who invested thinking that there was going to be subway service coming someday. Well, now, here it comes.
No, absolutely. It's a big joke to the community. And I was having this conversation the other night. I'm in Port Norfolk in Dorchester, which the train goes maybe 15 feet from my house. The closest station, you're in between Ashmont and North Quincy.
Yeah.
There has been rumors going around that they want to, in the back where in Tinian Beach, may or may not, Whitey Bulger throwing bodies in there. But that area is going to be booming in the next couple of years because there is a proposed station for an extended red line stop. And that would be right behind my house. Property values will go through the roof.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful view of the city. And you're completely right, Derek, when you say it's all about the developers.
Yeah.
You have all of these new high rises. And especially that is why I'm not hearing more about what's going on in the seaport. Because yes, you have the Silver Line. Everybody hates it.
Yeah, the Silver Line is a joke. That's mm-hmm. not...
It's a bus.
And no one who goes to the Seaport District uses the bus. Mm-hmm.
And no, for the majority of people that are coming from downtown into the Seaport are walking over
yeah.
because it is such a pain to get on the Silver Line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier just to walk.
It may be useful when there's PAX East going on and people don't know how to get from like their Motel 6 in Alston over to the convention center.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of people frequenting the Seaport District can afford not to use the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they couldn't afford not to use the bus, they're still not going to use the bus because they don't want to be seen on the bus.
Now, we're talking about this $73 million. Where are we going to get that from? Or where do they even propose to get it from? Because everything that I've been hearing thus far is saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do a new proposal to the federal government, they're not going to all of a sudden allow an extra $73 million.
You know where it's going to come from?
Taxpayers.
Yeah, that's where it always comes from.
Well, this is where a majority of the money has already come from.
So
you're proposing to everybody in the community, hey, we're just going to raise your taxes a little bit. But look at how amazing this project is going to be. You're lying.
Yeah, we're going to raise your taxes to build something for developers.
Was lied to.
Yeah.
You can't say that everybody believed it would actually stay at the $1.3 billion budget. Come on.
They're either going to jack up the gas tax, which is incredibly unfair to the poor, or they're going to jack up fares, which is incredibly unfair to the poor. The people who need this are the ones who are going to suffer the most.
Mm-hmm. And so, I love how they say one of their biggest concerns is training MBTA officials. I know where you can find that money.
Can't. Yeah. Some things, like an old dog, just some things you just can't train. You just can't do it. You can't train MBTA officials. Stop trying. It just makes them angry. In world news, nothing national this day is as big as what's happening overseas, unfortunately. ISIS reminded the world that it is a dangerous, unpredictable force today as a series of suicide bombings killed at least 90 people and wounded hundreds of others in Baghdad. The first attack took place early in the day when a car bomb went off in a crowded market, killing 64. Later in the day, a suicide bomber struck at a security checkpoint in Qashemia, one of Islam's holiest sites, killing 17. A third suicide bombing took place at a checkpoint in a predominantly Sunni section of western Baghdad, killing 8. Interesting thing about that third attack is that it took place in a Sunni section of Baghdad, because ISIS is, of course,
against Shia.
Sunni. Mm-hmm. And the target apparently was a Shia military checkpoint, but nobody cares. Everybody's like, what is up with the ISIS blowing up the people again? And there are already massive demonstrations taking place in Baghdad. This is not good.
No, and absolutely. I mean, it's awful. You hear the stories about, in one of the bombings, many of the victims were brides at a hair salon getting ready for a wedding. Multiple brides. It's so sad. And in recent months, from what we understand, ISIS has lost some ground control in Iraq. Now, these bombings today just prove that they can still launch these significant attacks.
Yeah.
In not, you know, in some desolate area. I'm talking about in the heart of the capital. That's frightening.
And that's what it's all about. They've greatly improved security in Baghdad, but these ISIS guys can still get in there, still wreak havoc. And this is basically their way of saying, we're still here. Don't forget about ISIS. Although they are systematically being driven out of a lot of places. They're going to be on the run back into Syria before long, where a peace agreement may mean they have no home there. I guess at that point they go to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
No, I mean, these bombings are taking place in the midst of this political crisis that is going on in the city. You have parliament basically unable to meet the government effectively, and there's so many disputes, whether it's financially and in the areas. Then you have the people that are asking the government, why are you not protecting us? Why is this happening? How are you safeguarding this area? People are dying on the streets.
And the reality, as we know in this country, is the government can't protect you from this. It's possibly a little bit easier if you
but
if you're willing to resort.
But then the big question is why? Why can't the government protect?
Because a determined terrorist is going to find a way to succeed. You can disrupt
plots
all day long.
But also, I'm not talking about one-time attacks. This is happening. I mean, not to this magnitude, but this is happening so much. We understand that there's this incredible conflict between the Shia and the Sunnis.
If I told you...
And that ISIS is completely against the Shia. But what's the end game here?
If I told you how easy it is to pull off an attack like this, it would make your head spin.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is it'd be very easy for anybody to pull off an attack like this. Not just over in Iraq. Here in the United States, people could pull off attacks like this. It is not hard to do. The only hard part about it is getting your hands on the explosives. And the explosives are flowing fast and furious in that part of the world. So you remove the most difficult part of the operation, yeah, you're going to have attacks like this going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an ISIS tantrum. It's really what it comes down to. They are losing the war. They are losing supporters. They are losing ground. And so they have to lash out to basically say, hey, we're still here.
We're still
ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is blowing up Baghdad is not going to make much of an international impact. It's tragic what happened. Most countries will ignore it. It certainly doesn't make Americans feel any less safe.
No, and especially for many people reading mainstream news, hearing about bombings in Baghdad, that's an everyday thing that you read.
Right. What's unique about this is
it's
the scale
exactly.
of the casualties, because, yeah, there's people blowing themselves up over there.
Here and there. We're
not
talking
every
about
day.
A couple, now we're up to the 90s.
Not every day like it used to be. Mm-hmm. Used to be you'd have somebody walk into the market every single day and blow up a suicide vest. It is not that bad there anymore. But there is still a lot of violence in that part of the world because there's a war going on. And when you have a war going on, you're going to have this violence out on the edges, spilling out into other places. ISIS does not do themselves any favors, especially when they attack a Sunni neighborhood.
Now, what about Iraqi pro-government forces that are backed by U.S.-led coalitions? And we're hearing about all these airstrikes. They're gaining ground in Anbar. They're talking about going and trying to regain Mosul. Is this helping at all?
Yes, it is, because it's driving ISIS further and further back. It's taking their caliphate away from them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you have to completely level the town to get ISIS out.
we're also talking about a group that is completely spread out.
Yeah.
It's not in a single area like the Taliban was, or, you know.
But the ultimate goal, if you... We've already disrupted their financial operations somewhat. If you can take their land away from them, then you completely take their financing away from them, and then they can't pay people to come in and be part of ISIS anymore.
No, we heard a few months ago they were, you know, not paying enough people because we were blowing up the, well, Russia was.
Yeah.
The oil fields.
Which is where Russia came in with an actual working strategy while everyone else was flying jets around and saying, let's blow up some Kurds while we're at it. End of that story. In other world news, Dilma Rousseff's political career is about to go on hold. The Brazilian Senate is currently debating whether or not to hold a formal impeachment trial of President Rousseff, who was accused of manipulating financial data ahead of her 2014 re-election campaign. Although the final vote will not be in until later tonight, one Brazilian consulting agency expects a 57-21 vote in favor of the trial, which indicates a two-thirds majority needed for full impeachment. Rousseff will step down for 6 months after the vote, handing control to Vice President Michel Temer. Rousseff dismissed her cabinet on Wednesday, an act seen as a sign that she expects the impeachment trial to move forward. So...
Bye-bye.
Yeah. There's been a lot of bizarre sort of political maneuvering around this.
Well, no, absolutely. We heard a few days ago that it was overturned. No way the government is going to try to impeach her. All of a sudden, again, it's back.
The Speaker of the House in Brazil, who was appointed after the previous Speaker of the House was arrested on corruption charges. It's Brazil.
Shocking.
Tried to have the... original impeachment vote recalled, saying that there were some irregularities in it. Didn't specify what they were. The president of Brazil's Senate said, forget it, you're not doing that. We're going to have our vote. What you've done stands. It was expected, even if that recall had happened, the result would have been the same. Rousseff herself went to the Brazilian Supreme Court yesterday to try and get this whole thing thrown out. That's not going to happen. She's done.
Mm-hmm.
She's
and
done.
How close we are to the Olympics.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the process for impeachment, though, isn't quick. I mean, we're not doing a vote and she's completely gone. The actual handing over of the position going to the second line, you would think that the person under her would not be corrupt. He actually is. The third in line to get it, he's worse than everybody all put together.
Yeah.
We're talking about needing to get rid of completely in... I don't even know how to describe the Brazilian government. It's so corrupt. And the fact that we are dealing with a huge, huge corruption scandal with Petrobras and how basically Petrobras, one of the largest, well, is the largest construction oil controlled in Brazil. They do a lot of projects for the government. Whose pockets get lined?
Yeah. But the thing is, Dilma Rousseff was the head of Petrobras at the time that the former president and a lot of other senior officials in the government were looting Petrobras to enrich themselves.
So strange. We do not see that here in this country.
No one has ever connected her to that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in charge. So she had to have some inclination of what was going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, the real issue here is that Brazil's economy is in the crapper. And the people are looking for someone to blame. Everybody knows that Dilma Rousseff fudged the financials in 2014 because that's what Brazilian presidential candidates do. You make things look better than they are by moving money around on the books, kind of like what a former governor of Massachusetts may have done, so that you can free up a lot of money to spend on things that will make people happy.
Absolutely. And when you're going into knowing your background and your connection with Petrobras, possibly maybe hurting your presidency in the future, you need to then build your campaign on the fact that you are going to stop this corruption. You are going to put people behind bars. That separates yourself, whether you were involved or not, or you're saying that you weren't involved. It separates yourself from that. But did that happen? No.
Not at all.
It only happened till now where people are demanding the government to hold people accountable.
I think it's fair to say that there is a lot of corruption in a lot of different places. And if you dig far enough on anybody in that government, you're going to find that somebody's done something wrong. I don't see the one honest man standing in the corner. Usually you can look around and say, oh, that's the one honest guy. That's Joe Biden in the United States. And by the way, I'm not saying Barack Obama is corrupt. I don't think Barack Obama personally is corrupt. Certainly not as much as some members of the previous administration seem to have been. But you can look at Joe Biden and be like, nobody's trusting that guy to do anything. Nobody's trusting that guy to keep a secret. Joe Biden is the one honest man.
But when you have this culture amongst the Brazilian government, where that has happened for so many years, you don't get away from it.
No.
So it's looking at the guy to your right or the woman to your left and saying, well, they do it, so I can do it.
Same problem.
There was never a stop to it. I mean, this has been going on for decades.
Same problem we have in sports. Everybody's juicing. So somebody who comes in and they're like, I want to play clean, good luck. Have fun back
in
the minors.
And if everybody else is doing it and I can benefit from it, 100% I'm going to do it.
It's not
whether it's right or wrong.
Sometimes it's not even a case of you do it to benefit. You do it just to keep pace.
You want to play the game?
Yeah.
You have to,
You want to get ahead, you got to steal some money. That's just the way it goes.
Well, today in sports, we learned a virus won't stop an athlete's desire for gold. In an interview Tuesday with CNBC, U.S. soccer goalkeeper Hope Solo said she begrudgingly will participate in the Rio Olympics despite her worries about the Zika virus, which causes birth defects in newborns. This confirms the reversal of her position from February when Solo said she likely wouldn't attend the games if she had to decide then. Quote, I'm not sure if I'm even going to leave the hotel room outside of practice, Solo said. The U.S. women are coming off of last year's World Cup title and have won three straight Olympic gold medals. That's a driving force for Solo, who is the starting goalkeeper for the Americans in the last two games. Health officials across the globe have advised women who are pregnant or hope to become pregnant avoid travel to countries where Zika is prevalent, and Brazil has been a country hardest hit by the virus. Partners of women have also been warned because of the virus can be now sexually transmitted. In March, the U.S. Olympic Committee said it would provide athletes with guidance and information about Zika, but would leave decisions for participation up to them. So we have...
It'll be interesting watching her try to tend goal in a beekeeper suit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should give her, is a beekeeper suit. And we'll see what she
picturing.
Can do.
Being in a net. Actually in a net.
Didn't South Korea come up with a Zika-proof uniform for their athletes?
Really?
Yes. They developed a Zika-proof uniform for their athletes.
So strange.
Yeah.
In recent weeks, we've been hearing people, a lot, and especially people covering it in the media, saying, I'm not going. Why would I risk that chance?
Yeah.
We also have athletes now coming out. This is a serious problem. This is a serious health crisis that is also moving up into Central America and in America. We now in Massachusetts have 10 cases that are confirmed from people that have traveled. It is continually growing and is continually moving up.
Well, the World Health Organization within the last 24 hours said that the Rio Olympics could be a global health disaster.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting when you hear somebody like a superstar like Hope Solo saying she begrudgingly is playing, you know she doesn't want to go.
No, she doesn't want to go.
What it comes down to is we have a U.S. team that has just come off of winning a World Cup. We know that they are going to more than likely win the gold medal.
Yeah.
And it is all because of sponsors. So I can't imagine how bad that pressure is from everybody inside your camp, everybody that pays you millions of dollars, whether you're on a Wheaties box or in an ad. You got to play. The superstar of the U.S. women's soccer team isn't going to play? You're crazy.
Yeah. Well, but that's it.
Deal with it. Use some off. Spray yourself.
That's
like
it.
That's insane.
Because... if she were in a sport like basketball or golf or tennis where there are ways to make money playing the sport, she's fine. She's toward the end of her career. The only thing that she has is sponsorship money, and those sponsors are already heavily committed, millions of dollars sunk into making this Rio Games work. Now, if you have high-profile athletes saying, I'm not going to show up, they're going to lose that investment.
It makes you wonder if sponsors do threaten players.
Of course they do.
They're saying, we're going to drop you if you don't show up. What's the point of even having a player? What? So you can play a couple games in the United States? That doesn't matter. You're the face. We need you walking the opening ceremonies around the half-built stadium that may or may not have people in it.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're saying, is if you want to keep getting the monies, you are going to go to Rio and risk your future health and your reproductive health for the sake of us making more money.
Absolutely. It's just another thing with regards to sports, of how much people give up, how much people sacrifice, whether we're talking about the NFL and what that does to your body, knowing that those constant hits, there's a possibility of CTE.
Yeah, but that's
to play.
That's a different situation.
No, but I understand.
That's the job.
Yes.
I'm talking about... There is nothing in the rules of soccer that
says you need to warm.
You have to go be exposed to a neurological disorder in order to play the game.
The point I'm making is saying the risk an athlete will take to play the sport or make money. Essentially, it's all about making money.
Yeah.
So whether that means being constantly injured every other week or...
It's the only way she can make money. She's got a choice between this and cashier at Walmart. I mean, I'm sure there are other things Hope Solo can do.
Well,
but,
and as of, you know, recent months, there was that, I don't know, she chased her nephew with a broom. And,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, she has some violent past that I'm sure she's trying to rectify her image. And, you know, a third gold medal will look pretty nice on her chest.
Oh, I'm sure. And it'll bring her in who knows how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in sponsor dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But that still should not be a choice that she's faced with.
Absolutely not.
She should be in a situation where she can look at the sponsors and say, get bent. I don't need your money. I've got another way of making money. She doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's much easier for, you heard last week when the U.S. women's basketball team came out and said, yeah, we're all playing. Of course you are. You are in a building. Not saying that mosquitoes can't travel in. There isn't a risk of, you know, transportation from the hotel or the village to where you're playing, but it's less significant.
But again, they need the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the highest profile event that they have for the next 4 years. The WNBA is building some audience here in the United States, but it's nowhere near the NBA. Those guys could all say, no, we're not going.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting their millions of dollars either way.
And nobody would take away their contracts because they decide not to go to Brazil.
Yeah, the world's top tennis players can say, we're not going, because mm-hmm. they're going to get paid either way. World's top golfers can say, we're not going. Anybody can say we're not going, and the sponsors can say, hey, you know, you can go to Vijay Singh and say, we're going to end your sponsorship, and he'll say, fine, I'll go get somebody else, because somebody else will want his visibility in other events. If you are a women's soccer player, if you are a track and field athlete, if you are a cyclist, it's this or nothing.
Mm-hmm. You have to go.
Yeah. This is the only way that you're going to make any money.
Your whole career for that 4 years is building up to that few shot puts that you throw.
Right. But the other side of it is that these, you know, not necessarily Hope Solo, because she's been playing mm-hmm. at what you would consider a professional level for several years.
But I feel like the pressure is even more so on these superstars that have to play, because they're the ones with the biggest sponsors and the most to lose in this.
But it goes all the way down. Even the track and field athletes, even the shot putters, mm-hmm. even the cyclists, they don't make a lot of money doing what they do. They rely on sponsorships to keep living their lives as athletes. Because you can't really hold down a day job and go, yeah, I'm not saying they don't work.
No, I understand.
But you can't hold down a full-time, well-paid day job
mm-hmm.
and train for marathon.
Of course, track and field, you're getting, you know, the sponsors from Reebok and whatnot. More than likely not going to get them if you're not performing.
Exactly. So the sponsors can just line up and say, we're taking your money away if you don't go, and they're over barrel. There's still every possibility that Brazil collapses and none of this happens, so we'll have to sit and wait for that.
Well, today in food news, we learned what we think is healthy might not be healthy. The Food and Drug Administration will reevaluate its definition of healthy, which would eventually upend how a range of foods are marketed. The FDA spokeswoman Lauren Kawicki said Tuesday that the agency believes, quote, now is an opportune time to reevaluate the regulations concerning nutrition content claims, generally including the term healthy. This is in light of evolving research. The agency plans to solicit public comment on the matter of this in the near future. The FDA currently allows the use of the term healthy on packaging only when it meets certain nutrition requirements. Last year, the maker of Kind Fruit Bar, which we talked about on the show, Kind Fruit Bar and some of the company's products should be not called healthy because of their saturated fat levels. Kind sought reevaluation of the term's definition from the FDA, noting that the fat in the bars comes from the nuts. Kind also noted that the FDA rule prevents avocados and salmon to be labeled as healthy, which are allowing terms for food with little nutritional value, like fat-free puddings and sugary cereals. Yeah, you actually had a conference.
It's the nut fat again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do we keep having to go back to the nut fat?
If you learned anything from the Mediterranean diet, nuts are good.
Yeah, but the nuts are full of fat. The nut fat is bad for you.
Good fat.
Is this going to help my oat friends? I'm still worried about the oat people.
Yeah, but this was so interesting when I saw it because I remember covering this story last year and saying, we had the conversation, so many products have the word healthy on it. By looking at it in the colors,
none of it means
it's
anything.
It's not healthy.
None of it means anything. It's just marketing. All of it.
But the
healthy,
owner of
all natural, organic, natural, all organic. It's all a bunch of lies.
But the owner of Kind makes a really great point. If you're going to hold my company up to this standard and saying the only reason why we can't be considered healthy is because of our saturated fat level or the fat content. But look at salmon. High in omega-3. It's a good fat, but it's a great food for you.
Yeah.
Same thing, as he said, with avocados. It's one of those good fats.
No, he needs to get the fat-free nuts. Can he get the fat-free nuts? The nut fat is a problem.
But it's crazy to think when you go into a grocery store and see so many products labeled as low-fat, fat-free, and we have that connotation in our brain, oh, it must be healthier. But not considering how much sugar is in it or how much... You know, any other...
Well, it's like heart healthy.
Put in there.
It says heart healthy on the package. It must be good for me. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Those words don't mean anything. And the people who put those words on the package know they don't mean anything. On the other side of it, we got the poor oat people who throw some
all
oats...
All it is oats.
Throw some oats in a box, and now they're getting sued because they're not all natural, because someone used a high spectrum spectrometer to find a trace of a percentage of some glyphosate in the oats from when they were grown by the farmer before the oat people even got them.
Shameful.
The FDA should have been out in front of this a long time ago.
You know, any change to regulations, it's going to take years for it to happen. Look at when the FDA was changing gluten-free.
It only takes...
That took about 7 years.
It only takes years for it to happen because the American people accept that that's the way it is. This could be fixed in 3 months. 3 months.
But it's how it's always been done.
All you have to do is issue the rule, say you have until the end of the year to comply, or we're going to start fining you, and guess what? Everybody's going to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is the industry, which doesn't want to lose the marketing value of healthy and organic and all natural, except the oat people who are already being sued, the industry starts flooding Congress with money and phone calls and saying, please, 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 you're going to ruin our lives if we have to take the word natural off of or healthy off of our product.
Mm-hmm.
The Kind Bar.
Oh, I love that.
The Kind Bar guy is right, and the oat people are right, and everybody else is crazy.
And Kind Bars are actually good. I mean, they have a lot of nutritional value. Whereas you have like a Quaker oat. I know, I hate to hit you on the oats, but a Quaker oat cereal bar, which on the product says, you know, like healthy snack. It's not. It's covered in sugar and frosting, held together by marshmallow.
That's delicious.
No, it's
it's good for my health.
But
it makes me happy.
It doesn't constitute as healthy.
It's good for my health. It makes me happy.
Yeah, the endorphins. Is that what we're going
Happiness
with?
Happiness is a key component of health. Well, there's added sugar in the Kind Bar, isn't there?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at, there's actual, you can see the fruit, Derek. It's such a strange concept.
Every granola bar.
In the bar.
Every granola bar is coated in sugar to stick the various bits together. So, yes, the oat people may have a little extra marshmallow in there.
I believe Kind uses honey mixture. That's why it costs you like $6 a bar.
Also known as sugar.
The healthy sugar.
Well, whether it's
agave nectar.
Look, any sugar in moderation is healthy for you, unless you're diabetic. So it doesn't matter if it's honey or synthetic
processed sugar
or synthetic honey made by mixing sugar with corn syrup or water or just using corn syrup or whatever it is that they use. It's all the same stuff. There are only so many ways that you can stick fruits and nuts together and make a bar out of them.
True.
Maybe we'll see some action from the FDA. Maybe. 7 years from now. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. In technology news, the future of transportation moved a step closer to reality today as investors and journalists witnessed the first test of Hyperloop 1 in a desert north of Las Vegas. A metal sled accelerated from 0 to 100 miles per hour in just 1.1 seconds, then slowed to a stop in a pile of sand. The test, which lasted for about 4 seconds, was the first public proof of concept for the new technology, which may someday see people and cargo moving in enclosed tubes at 750 miles per hour. The next stop for Hyperloop is to build a 3-mile test track that will include vacuum-sealed tubes to reduce drag on the transport sleds.
Talking about this, a couple years ago, and the developments are amazing when I read this article and where it started. And to kind of grasp a concept of what this would look like, if you ever go in a drive-through of a bank and, you know, you're not next to the teller, you're in the one right over, and it has that chute where you put your money in it. Very, very similar concept, except you're in the tube.
In appearance, similar. Mm-hmm. The way that it works is completely different.
The mechanics, yes.
For those of you who know technology, the Hyperloop is basically a giant railgun.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that a railgun works...
Based off of magnets?
Yeah, the way that a railgun works is it fires electromagnets in succession to rapidly move a piece of material out of the gun, turning it into a projectile that can hurt somebody. This is the same thing done on a much larger scale. The reason the thing is going to be in a tube is because they're going to vacuum seal it to eliminate drag, which makes it more efficient and allows it to go faster. I don't know that I'm necessarily comfortable with the idea of traveling 750 miles an hour in a sled in a tube.
No. Do you think we would ever get to that point? No, I believe it, but how far off do you think we are in having that technology where instead of using a train to get from here to, say, Baltimore, instead of taking the Amtrak, we're taking the Hyperloop?
It'll take them 2 years just to get to the 3-mile test track stage, I believe, because you still have some problems to figure out. It doesn't go as fast as they'd like it to.
Now, wasn't one of the concerns is how it affects the body at that rate of speed?
Oh, you can't go that fast. You can't go from zero to that speed or you would turn into paste. you would be a puddle of goo in your seat. So they have to accelerate you more slowly than that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at 2 years before they get the test track built, assuming they figure out the speed problem and the problem of how you maintain a vacuum seal over a structure that size at any measure of distance. From there, you're looking at probably 5 to 10 years before someone would even have the ability to build one of these. So
now you talk about a vacuum seal. If that were to crack or break, would that just completely shut down the process, or could that?
No, it would slow. It would slow the thing down,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't completely shut it down.
So it's no sort of tragedy that would happen for it. It wouldn't completely go off.
No. No. And the question is whether or not it's safer to be in the tube or not be in the tube. We have maglev bullet trains all over the world right now, mm-hmm. that don't use the tube. The benefit of the tube would be you could stick it underground if you wanted to, as long as you're not in an area with a lot of earthquakes, which apparently is everywhere, by the way. We know that now. I don't know. I don't know. There is a very, very long-term horizon on this thing.
No, but it's so incredibly interesting to think about. That's where it could be.
You're probably looking, unless Disney decides to build one, you're probably looking at a minimum of 10 years, very optimistically, practically 15 years, before anyone would have an actual functioning Hyperloop in place.
Now, when you're talking about Disney saying what transportation from your hotel to or just around the parks,
they may find a use for it somewhere. That
I mean, look what they did with the monorail. This is what I'm thinking, the newest.
Exactly.
The Hyperloop.
But the thing about the Hyperloop, it's not a subway, and it's not mm-hmm. meant to be a subway. It's meant to be long-distance transportation. So you would connect one of these from Boston to New York City, and there would be no stops in between. You get from Boston to New York City in 15 minutes. That's fantastic. Everyone would love to do that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be in New York City all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people from New York would be in Boston all the time. And both cities would then be terrible. And I would have to move to Maine. But if I moved to Portland, I could get from Portland to New York City in like half an hour.
True.
But then the New Yorkers...
We're coming full circle.
The New Yorkers won't go to Portland because nobody wants to go to Portland.
Portland's awesome. Great beer up there, so you stop.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
No stormy weather in the immediate future. How's that working out for you, Lisa Nichols?
Oh, I am one happy girl.
Here's what we got. It was a winter today. Gorgeous, gorgeous day. Temperature got up to around 70 here in the Boston area. Tonight, we're going down into the to about 50. That'll be the low again tomorrow night. Tomorrow is going to be sunny, no clouds, no rain, high of about 70. Friday, we start out on the same path, sunny, high in the upper 60s, but then we get a little afternoon rain mixed in, just in time for your afternoon commute. It's always a win. Saturday and Sunday both are going to be partly cloudy. Saturday, we're going to be in the low 70s for a high, and it's going to be sunny and nice during the day. And then 20% chance of rain Sunday night or Saturday night. Low around 50 degrees on Saturday night. Then Sunday, yeah, I guess it's about 57. Again, nice during the day. Chance of some afternoon showers. Temperatures fall back into the 40s.
Yeah, after last week.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough, all that rain.
After last week.
Sad, sad.
After last week, we will absolutely take it. I have a little mushroom problem going in the yard right now.
Oh.
Yeah. The
more for you to do around the house.
The mulch around the swing set is full of mushrooms. They're just everywhere.
Derek has a swing set and no children.
And apparently the swing set came with the house. And apparently, according to my friend the mushroom farmer, I now need to get rid of all the mulch.
Mm. So again, more projects for Derek to do around the
Derek
house.
Derek is going to attempt to lime the mushrooms out of existence.
Oh, the joys of owning a home.
Before getting rid of all the mulch, because lime is easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can torment the thing. I may be able to make the soil so acidic and the mulch so acidic that the mushrooms are like, forget it, we're out of here. We don't like this. Yeah, they do like very specific conditions, so maybe that'll help. In better news, we just got the LED streetlights on my street. So awesome. So awesome.
Only you would notice that.
So awesome.
And love it.
Oh, no. Everyone in the neighborhood's noticed it. You know why? Because there isn't that awful orange glow all over everything outside anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a nice little puddle of white light where it's supposed to be.
You mean like what a light should do?
Yeah. Strange. And it's gorgeous. Like the entire, like... I look out my window now at night and I see dark, not orange. It's amazing.
Sure, yeah.
It's amazing. And the whole neighborhood is getting nicer. If your town is not putting in LEDs, go ask why. Right, go down to City Hall and say, where are the LED lights?
You're also from a rich town on the North Shore.
No, everybody's doing it. This is a thing that's happening in communities all over the country. It saves money. Because they use less energy, they don't have to be changed as frequently. and it also cuts down tremendously on light pollution.
Well, I'm in Mayor Marty Walsh's neighborhood, and I'm wondering where my LED lights are.
He's working with the unions to make that happen. In your case, Lisa, in most cases, I would say go talk to your local elected official and say, where are my LED lights? In your case, Lisa, you want to go to the IBEW Local 103.
Yes.
International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and explain to them that there is a massive opportunity for them to work and get in some overtime hours if they could just get this LED thing off the ground in the city.
Money to be made.
City of Boston is putting in LEDs, by the way.
Really?
Over in Charlestown by the Tavern at the End of the World. Mm-hmm. Streetlights all up and down that street are LEDs now. Everybody else has got the sodium.
Going into Charlestown or going into Somerville?
Going into Charlestown. Hmm. Yeah. So the city of Boston is doing this. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Not only is it a technology that works, it also improves the quality of life for everybody around them because you don't have that awful orange glow anymore. Love it. When we come back, did you hear some of the other stories that are making news right here on WMFO Medford?
Rare, medium, well done. Cooking meat is not a time to play guessing games. You can ruin the flavor of a tender piece of meat by overcooking. The best way to be sure the meat is cooked the way you like it is to use a meat thermometer. Before you place the meat in the oven, insert the thermometer so the bulb is in the center of the thickest part of the meat, making sure that it doesn't touch bone or fat. When the thermometer reaches a few degrees below the desired temperature, remove the meat from the oven and allow it to sit 15 to 30 minutes. It will continue to cook to the desired doneness, and it'll be easier to carve. This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. To make sure you start with the best possible piece of meat for the way you're going to use it, write for more free information on meat buying. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols.
Also known as Becky with the good hair.
We are here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. Get in on our conversation, and you can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. You can also go to our Facebook page where we're always putting good stuff on there. That is facebook.com/bigpicture. And it's time for Did You Hear, that segment where Derek and I go back and forth and quiz each other by saying one or two words relating to a news story, and we inform you about it.
There was actual news this week? I didn't really catch any.
All right. Let's start off with a beer. Budweiser.
I actually had this on my list, too. Budweiser is going to change the name of their product to America. They're actually going to replace the word Budweiser with the word America on the can as part of their America is in your hands campaign this summer. And there was a brilliant, brilliant quote from somebody involved in this. One of their spokespeople who said that they were doing this, quote, to inspire drinkers to celebrate America and Budweiser's shared values of freedom and authenticity.
We're too much like I had that same quote.
When I think authenticity,
I think of Budweiser.
I think rice beer made by Brazilians. Mm. Isn't that what you think?
With a Belgian company.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's really run by the Brazilians. Mm-hmm. And it is rice beer.
And I think America.
Yeah. That's what America...
I think more North America, not South America.
That's what America is all about. Rice beer made by Brazilians.
You can get these. They're going to be on all the 12-ounce cans and bottles available May 23rd. It's going to be going into... They said it's for the summer. Because of the elections, it's going to last into November. Yeah.
Yeah, that's their other angle on this, is this somehow has to do...
with the election.
Yeah, it has to do with the election. Here's my advice to Budweiser. Make America great again. Go back to the old recipe, InBev.
Yeah.
And not...
Even Donald Trump wouldn't be able to fix... make America great again.
Because one of the first things that InBev did when they took over was they got rid of the heirloom rice mm-hmm. that people had been growing to make Budweiser and started saying any old rice will do.
And you knew that was going to happen with the product.
It's not like anybody drinks Budweiser for
and
the
I
flavor
still maintain
anyway.
My stance. Whenever I have a long night of drinking and I do not want to switch to water, Bud's perfect for that.
Yeah.
So let's just call it water.
Yeah.
America. All right.
America. I'm going to grab myself a can of America with both hands, knock it back. Driving's better after I've had 5 or 6 Americas.
That's going to be the new campaign for the 4th of July.
That'll be the new crime, driving while American. Right? What was your blood America content? We need to know that right now. These colors don't run.
Red, white, and .02.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. And it's clear that this company is in trouble if they're doing this. That's the only reason that you
and
do
you
this.
And you work in marketing, and so you know this.
Yeah. This is obviously, we are in desperate straits to sell Budweiser. So we're going to put America on the can. But what is in that can has nothing to do with America anymore. Mm-mm. It is second-rate rice beer sold by Brazilians. That's not... You know what they should have done? They should have called it Obama's America. Then it would be accurate.
Fired up over the America.
I just cannot believe how dumb some people are. Bison.
It was officially named the mammal of the United States of America.
Barack Obama signed it, so while you're drinking down that can of America, you can look at a bison and say, congratulations on being America's national mammal. I think we're the only country on the planet that has a national mammal.
We actually didn't have one before.
No.
So they were like...
We've never... I don't think anybody else... People associate the bear with Russia. Mm-hmm. And the bear is certainly a symbol of Russia. I don't think there's a lot of Russians going around saying, this is our national mammal, the bear.
That'll be a Jeopardy question in a few weeks.
Does Japan have a national mammal? Does Germany have a national mammal?
No. Probably. I don't know.
Does,
because that's how insignificant of a country's fact sheet is.
Does Australia have a national mammal, and how many different ways can it kill you?
Probably the kangaroo.
I think in their case it's
marsupial.
It's those syphilis ridden koala bears.
Yes.
It's not a bear, but it's got the syphilis. Mm-hmm. Stay away from the koalas.
All right. Tylenol.
Tylenol. If taking Tylenol...
Big story that came out today.
This is. Taking Tylenol, but it's not just Tylenol. That's the brand that they seized on. Taking acetaminophen, according to a study, reduces your empathy and makes you more of a jerk.
Yeah, this was a study from the researchers at Ohio State University. They found that the pain-killing substance, acetaminophen, found in Tylenol, dulled subjects' emotional responsiveness and ability to feel emotion. Lessens a person's ability to empathize with others. And this was put in the Journal of Social Cognitive and Effective Neuroscience. So, interesting.
Daily Tylenol is now mandatory at all of America's big banks. So there's going to be a condition of employment. You must take Tylenol every 4 hours.
I know a lot of people that take Tylenol PM before they go to bed. And now I'm wondering if it's not the grogginess in the morning, does it take a while for that effect to wear off?
Do they wake up cranky and unconcerned about your needs?
No.
I wouldn't do that. I'd be there for you.
Thank you.
They also said that this may not be completely due to acetaminophen, mm-hmm. that simply living in pain might be the thing that causes you to be less empathetic
to
others.
Which usually puts you in,
Yeah.
The chronic back pain that you're taking the extra strength Tylenol for every day, yeah. I'm more pissed off about that and not...
Yeah, I know when I'm dealing with some heavy pain, I have very little tolerance for the problems of other people around me and that they can basically go take a hike.
Oh, you mean that's not every day?
No.
No.
There are some days when I'm actually compassionate.
Pleasant.
Occasionally. Rarely. Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, her name was found in the Panama Papers, and it was for an offshore company, which was supposed to be private, but that just came out today, yeah.
Minus 50 points for Gryffindor. Emma's people say that she's done this for her privacy, but let me tell you something. Anybody who's got one of these offshore accounts doesn't look good. The optics of this are very, very bad, and you're going to have an entire group of people out there saying, well, here's another high and mighty leftist, social justice warrior, skimming money and hiding it in an offshore bank account. So,
and if you think this is the only person in Hollywood that is doing it,
oh, yeah.
You are so, so sadly mistaken.
There are others, but if you are going to go out and take positions that some people find unpopular... And subject yourself to the scrutiny of that. I'm not saying that you're a hypocrite. I'm saying that it behooves
you.
But
holding yourself up to this platform of all holy greatness. Look what I'm doing for world poverty and whatnot. Where you're taking your money out of the bank and you're putting it in an offshore account. Doesn't really make a good character out of you.
You just gave your critics a whole pile of ammo. A whole pile of ammo. And you just got a bunch of people to dismiss anything that you're ever going to say again. So if you're going to go stick your neck out, you better have your ducks in a row before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi did not have any offshore bank accounts.
It's all that Harry Potter monies.
Yeah, it is all the Harry Potter monies.
Greece.
Greece voted in a new round of austerity, including cuts to the pension and unemployment benefits. 30% cut across the boards?
Yeah, the lawmakers passed pension and tax reforms. We're talking about they're trying to unlock more than 5 billion euros. So that's $5.7 billion. Greece is